You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Dr. Richard Ross, probably someone that many of our listeners are well aware of. They've seen him at the D6 conference. They know about his work with True Love Waits. He has ministered to many different families as a practitioner, but also as a professor there at Southwestern Seminary in Texas. So, Dr. Ross, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Dr. Moody, I really appreciate this invitation. It's wonderful to be with you and to be with these folk that are watching and listening.
Well, you always are on the move. I mean, you are always you're also in the forefront of family ministry. And we were at a conference and you just shared your heart with some of the participants and you started talking about a Jesus bar mitzvah. How about unpacking that for a little bit? What would that entail? And what brought that idea into your mind in the first place?
Well, I became a youth pastor when I was 19 years of age. I never could have guessed at age 19 that that was going to be the sole focus of my entire life. I've been thinking about teenagers and King Jesus in the lives of teenagers every day since I was 19. I help PhD students get their dissertations. I'm teaching master's students every day. So I do live in the world of research, and I'm surrounded at Southwestern Seminary by some of the key theologians in the United States. So you bring together clear insights into scripture with clear research, and it makes you think carefully about what should the church's ministry with teenagers look like today. Actually, several streams of thought have really brought this subject of a Jesus bar mitzvah to the forefront. One theme is this: everybody knows at least half of our church young people are walking away from the church and often walking away from the faith after high school. Everybody knows that. And obviously, we have got to do a much, much better job drilling doctrine, the basics of what a student is to believe. And that can't just be mama's faith. That has to be something that a student assimilates, absorbs into themselves. So it seems that we need an additional way to motivate students toward discipleship. At the same time, everybody knows mom and dad are the most important influence in the life of a teenager, for good or ill. They're the biggest influence. We're all talking about mobilizing mom and dad to spiritually lead at home, but it's actually not working as well as we would wish. And one of the reasons for that is we're not giving parents very specific instruction about what are you actually supposed to do at home with your child or teenager. So it seemed if we could develop a plan where especially dad clearly could see, oh, this is exactly what I need to be doing with the kids in my house, it seems like that might move some of them to action. Another concern has to do with these very mixed messages even church teenagers are getting about their gender. I'm sorry to say TikTok and everything else has had a real influence on them. And some of the kids have begun to wonder, do I get to choose what gender am I going to be? So obviously we needed a moment in time that would really help those kids nail their biblical understanding of the gender God gave them in their mother's womb and help them live consistent with that. A whole nother issue, you see, has to do with what are they going to do for the rest of their lives? Are they going to hang out like an overgrown teenager the rest of their lives, or are they going to actually start making a difference for the kingdom? Here's the deal. The research says if you ask 25-year-olds, are you an adult? 51% of them say, not yet. Mm-hmm. This issue of an overgrown adolescent is becoming very well known. They're just not growing up fast and moving on into adulthood. So once again, there seemed to need to be some moment in time where the church would really scoot somebody forward into a more adult life and role in the church. And I think that includes opening doors for even high school students to take significant leadership roles in the church, being on ministry teams, being on committees, joining adults and doing the ministry of the church. We just need something concrete to help that begin. And then I think finally, we just need a way to help young people feel I have a call on my life. There's something significant I'm supposed to do. And I would stand before my congregation and give some affirmation to the fact that there are clear callings on my life. Okay, you fold all of that together, and it makes you wonder, should there be a moment that the entire congregation would affirm, this is a growing young person, this is a growing young man, this is a growing young lady. We recognize them as a very, very young adult, not an overgrown child. We affirm the fact that they are a male or a female. We affirm the fact that we want to welcome them into adult relationships in the church. And we want that student to reach that point because mom and dad, maybe especially dad, have really helped them prepare for that moment in time so that it really could be significant. So a conversation has begun. More people are being pulled into this conversation all the time. The conversation is around a 16th birthday, could we have a student stand before the church on Sunday morning, relatively brief, but enough minutes that it could be significant. Maybe the same week of their birthday, maybe a guy or a girl is standing before the church and the senior pastor leads the church in a time of affirmation and blessing. And that actually becomes a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. And I think an interesting term for that might be Jesus bar mitzvah. That sets evangelical Christians completely separately from wonderful Jewish traditions. So I think maybe that phraseology might help us. But the key would be the entire congregation would have things they would say, things they would affirm. The young person would have expressions they would make before the church. There are things they would say about their faith, about doctrine, about calling. And all of that would be wrapped around, we're affirming you as a young man, or we're affirming you as a young woman. And I just think from that day forward, that 16-year-old walking around the church starts functioning more like an adult, and they start doing more adult things. And when the church advertises, oh, the men's ministry will meet such and such time, that 16-year-old knows, well, that's me. That's something I'm a part of. Anyway, became widespread across the churches, I think we would begin to see differences in those older high school students.
So you've said we've got baby dedications, we've got baptisms, we usually recognize them for graduating from high school and so forth. So what you're saying is there needs to be bring them up on the stage, a clear demarcation, was a kid, now is an adult. And we know they're not yet, we know, but it is a clear point. Now you do X and now we view you differently. And that's something that's been muddied a little bit. When do I become an adult, right? So you're thinking this particular process makes that clear. Now they are an adult. And you alluded to not knowing exactly what to do. So we know what to do in a baby dedication and we have for baptism preparation, but certain things, especially the dad does or other people in the church, if there's not a dad present, to prepare this kid for this particular point.
Yes, I think that is going to be an essential part of it for a rising 16-year-old to just jump up on the stage on a random Sunday morning and say, oh yeah, I'm in. Obviously that would have almost no meaning at all. The strength of the entire experience is the preparation. The moment in time, the time that you're up in front of the church will be a blessing. I think it would be a moment a student would remember the rest of their lives. But in terms of changing their DNA, that happens through a preparatory process. Right now, some of us are trying to think through carefully how to define what that preparation process would look like. Matt Hansen is a Christian businessman. He has great respect for what the old Eagle Scout rank used to mean. And everybody understood the depth of character and maturity that that exhibited. And he's really helping some of the rest of us think, is there any parallel? Can you say, hey, here's the manual. Hey, here is the process that you move through. And especially, dear old dad, if you could put something in his hands saying, this is exactly what your son needs to do in preparation for his bar mitzvah. This is exactly what your daughter needs to do in preparation for her bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. That kind of preparation, you know, take dad. He's been watching other people's kids hit 16. He's been watching these ceremonies on the platform. It's been wonderful. And he's thinking, wait a minute, my kids are getting older. It won't be that long before they're going to be approaching 16. I got to get my head in the game. I can't have my kid miss out on this. I think it's a new level of motivation. And I think the clarity of saying, okay, I'm just making this up. Here are 12 preparation steps you have to achieve. Here are 12 things you've got to pull off before your bar mitzvah. I just think that motivates the teenager, and I think it motivates the parent as well.
That's great. And so you're listening. It's important for all of us to think. We can definitely see the slide, and you alluded to like struggles on gender identity and everything that they get on TikTok and other social media. If we don't change the culture, this is what I kind of hear you saying. If we don't have something specific, concrete in place, we're going to see the same slide continue on. But if we know, okay, there's certain things these kids need to know, certain things they need to do and be taught, that's really the purpose of this process. And then we come up and develop, okay, this is what it would be. And it becomes part of the culture in the church.
Exactly. You know, I think you could ask almost any student pastor, any youth leader, how many seventh graders do you have in your youth group? And they might say 15. And then you say, how many seniors do you have in your youth group? And they might say 5. I think you hear those numbers everywhere. See, another thing that excites me about all of this is instead of that junior and senior year being a time where you're slowly, slowly disengaging, slowly, slowly slipping more and more away from the church. What if you had just come out of this wonderfully powerful time of affirming your faith, affirming your doctrine, affirming your gender, all of this preparation? I think we could catch students right at the moment that they're most likely to begin softening their commitment to the church. I think we could end up with juniors and seniors who are actually leaders in the student ministry. And at the same time, I'll say again, out there in the full congregation, actually performing the way adults perform in the congregation. Just go back in history 150 years. What was a 16 or 17-year-old doing 150 years ago? Well, they were getting married. They were having children. They were lay people in the church because they were married. They were performing as young adults. It's only the culture that's changed. It's only the culture now that sees those people as just lazy teenagers. I think we can resurrect some of that perspective of young adulthood through a ceremony where the whole congregation affirms that to be the case.
That's great. And so we move them right into ministry. We're getting them active and thinking about whatever ministry they may do doesn't have to be like what we think of as full-time ministry, but all of us are to be active serving the Lord. And so we immediately get them involved in that. And we stop this leaving of the church that we see, this falling away that happens. What a great idea. And so folks are thinking, hey, I like this. And maybe they've got some suggestions, or maybe they want to connect with you. They can always follow you. You're putting posts out frequently on X, used to be called Twitter, and they can connect with you on social media. What are some other ways they could get in contact with you, Dr. Ross?
I have a website, Richard A. Ross. You've got to get the A in there, richardaross.com. My email address is there. Contact information is there. Information about speaking, writing, resources, that sort of what thing. So that would probably be the easiest place for us to connect.
And then, of course, if you're at the D6 conference, I don't know of one you've not been at. So go up. You're very approachable. They can speak to you, say, hey, I've got an idea about this. A good way to get some feedback, good way to talk to you, and let's just see where this goes.
Absolutely.
You are always on the move, my friend. And we didn't even talk about True Love Waits. That was an idea a couple of decades ago that sure did turn into something. And who knows, this could be an idea on the same level that could really help us at this particular moment where the church is at this point in history. And so, Dr. Rawls, thank you for always being innovative, always thinking, and being so faithful in the ministry, my friend.
It's a joy.
We want to thank you, our listener. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Maybe you know of a parent, even a young person that would benefit from this podcast. Just take it and share it with them. Remember, every little thing we do, it really does matter. We truly are better when we work together. We're better together. Thank you for joining us today.